Welcome to Heralding the Truth, radio ministry of Russell Road Church in Sidney, Ohio. Here at Russell Road, our vision is to build a people who are establishing God's Word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We appreciate you joining us for this dynamic and life-changing Word. Here now is today's message.
Well, it's once again wonderful to just be with you guys and to just go over God's Word together. We're going to read from Philippians chapter 4, just like we did last week. So this is chapter 4, verses 6 through 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Just as a recap from last week, you know, we talked about this Irane piece, and we spoke about how it would be really good if we could become just as familiar with the Irane piece of God as we are with the agape love of God. You know, a lot of people know the word agape, and they know that it's the God kind of love, but if you bring up the word Irane, they're like, what is that? The Irane piece. And I want to go over some of the things we talked about last week, and that's the piece that this verse is talking about, the Irane peace, that he wants to give us a peace that surpasses all understanding, right? And I don't know about you, but that sounds pretty good to me. I mean, if something passes all understanding, it's like beyond what's logical, like beyond what you can even fathom in your ability to reason, God wants to give you an illogical, amazing level of peace that can only come from him. And I want that. And I don't think I'm alone in this room, but some of the things that I think are important that we would be reminded of as a recap from what we talked about last week, one being we know that the world is overcome with anxiety. That it has only ever really gotten worse, especially in recent years. We talked about some statistics talking about in the age bracket of like 18 to 35, you know, like up to 39 to 40% of people in that age group are confessing that they feel like they have tremendous anxiety and that they don't know what to do about it. You know, and that there's many of them are feeling like they're suffering from depression or isolation and loneliness, you name it. I mean, this is a big deal. It's not something to just say, oh, well, pull yourself up by your bootstraps and get over it. There's a reason that this is happening. And one of the biggest reasons is that people don't have a clue about what having peace in God looks like. Why? Because it's only something that's actually available to us in a relationship with God. And how many people are forsaking having any resemblance of a relationship with God, right? It's more and more prevalent that people are deciding to not go to church or to abandon any kind of idea of having that kind of relationship altogether. And it is no wonder that the result is more anxiety, more depression, more difficulty. I mean, God gave us free will to be able to choose if we want to be able to have a relationship with him through his son, Jesus, but he never promised it would be easy in either option, did he? Even in a relationship with Christ, it doesn't mean that everything suddenly becomes, you know, rainbows and sunshine with no problems. But one thing's for sure, it's definitely not easy without him. And so what we see statistically speaking in a lot of these confessions is anxiety is rampant and it only tends to or stands to get worse the more we alienate ourselves from the peace that God has so readily made available to us through Christ. So I want to define that Irane peace again. Irane is a fruit of the Spirit, okay? And like any of the fruits of the Spirit, it is the God kind of something, okay? So if it talks about love, joy, peace, patience, etc., these are all the God kind of those things, okay? So when it says that he's love, it's not just human love, it's agape love. When it says that the fruit of the Spirit is peace, it is the God kind of peace, Irane peace. So like all of the fruit of the Spirit, it is developed and it is cultivated over time. So please don't beat yourself up if you're like, oh, I feel like I don't have peace. I feel like this, even as a Christian, I really struggle with having peace. Well, be encouraged and know that it's something that we can grow in. That just because you have habitually said that you have struggled with anxiety for a long time does not mean that it's something you have to stay in. And that, in fact, you can grow in becoming a person who dwells in the peace of God and experience that in a very real way that's different than maybe how you feel today. But it is cultivated and developed over time. It means, irane means to be set at one again. Now remember, this is the antithesis of anxiety. Anxiety being feeling like you're being pulled in many different directions. Like you've got a lot of voices in your life, pressure in your life. You feel like there's about 50 different ways that, you know, people are trying to pull you. Everyone wants a piece of your time. And next thing you know, you're trying to bend over backwards to make it all happen. And in doing so, you're breaking yourself. And it's filling you with dread. Like you don't even want to look at what's going to happen the next day because it's all over again, right? That's no way to live, is it? And we're not called to live that way. So thankfully, we are called to have the peace of God. But remember, as opposed to being, being pulled in many different directions, it is the idea of being set at one again. And in that being set at one, it means that it is a peace of mind that comes from being reconciled to God through Jesus. So right there you have it. The only way this kind of peace is available to us is by the relationship that we have with God through Jesus Christ specifically. Jesus who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through me. See, this is the only way that we have access to God the Father is through his son Jesus and what he did on the cross for us. Dying that our sins would be forgiven, would be cleansed, that we would have nothing standing between us and God, no hindrance that would drive us away from him or that we would not be able to have that relationship. Instead, we have access to God. And because of that access, because of who we now become in Christ and what he did for us, we now have access to a type of peace that only God can give. Nothing else can. Like I said, it's not pumpkin spice lattes and walking on a nice wooded trail with the leaves falling in autumn, as pleasant as that sounds. But again, it's not based upon circumstances, all right? And no matter, you know, like what situation you find yourself in, some are maybe more peaceful seeming and some more or less. But the idea is, if you can boldly say, I have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, that means that you have access to the God kind of peace that nothing else can give. And that means that whether it's a decent day and you feel like things are going well, or whether it's a train wreck, you can keep your peace. Because nothing is going to step in from the outside and rip you and Jesus apart. Okay? Which brings me to another point, that this sense of peace, it says in the verse in Philippians, that this peace is what guards us. Actually, I want to make sure we read that again. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, the irane of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So remember, this peace is what guards your heart and mind. You do not guard your peace guards you. Because oftentimes we look at it like something that it's like a thing that we carry and that we have to try and you know, we're trying to protect it. You can't protect your peace any more than you can protect Jesus Christ. Like, Jesus is your peace. Jesus is who's actually protecting you in that process. You see, it's not something that you have taken from you. Okay? We use that word a lot. I do it too. I'll say like, oh, you know, like it's something where you have to make sure that no one takes your peace. But the reality is, whenever we don't have peace, it's actually because we've given it away. That's an important distinction. We have actually ejected peace from doing what it's supposed to do in our lives by having it guard us, by having the irane peace be what guards our hearts. Instead, we kick it out so that we can try to find something else that we believe in that moment will do a better job of making us feel at peace. And what that looks like is, you know, maybe you had an extremely stressful day at work And instead of, you know, going home and praying and saying, Lord, I am totally off the rails right now. I'm angry. I'm stressed. I feel burdened. Instead of remembering who you are in Christ, remembering that you're reconciled to God through Jesus, you then instead jump on Netflix and binge watch something. See, there's my allotment for today. I talked about binge watching Netflix. I'll try not to do it again. But you know what I mean. Maybe you run to the idea of pornography even. You know, you realize that it doesn't bring you peace, but something in you, when you're stressed, desires to look at this or to participate in this. And in reality, it's only depleting you and making you feel more empty, but something in you clings to it because you're trying to seek some kind of satisfaction because you're not at peace. You gave your peace away. You had already given it away. Now you're trying to replace it with something else. Some people try to replace the peace that only God can give with material possessions. The more stuff I can own, the better I feel about myself. The bigger the number in my bank account, the more secure I feel. When in reality, these things, it's like straw that can be burned up by fire. It can be so fast and so immediate, the loss of wealth, even the loss of life. Just like the man in the Bible who said, oh, I have many possessions laid up for many years, and now my soul can be at rest. Like, you know, he had so many things that he had gained, that he had to tear down his barns and build new ones just to fit all the stuff he got. He got more stuff than he knows what to do with, right? Let's be honest, like the lives of most Americans. Remember, we have something called a storage unit in this country. That's not in every country, by the way. We literally have houses for our stuff. Okay, we got a lot of things and we try to find peace in it. But just like that man in the scriptures, he thought he had peace, that he could have peace for many years because of that. But then the Lord said to him, you fool, this very night your soul is going to be demanded of you. Whose then will all of that stuff you've acquired, whose then will it be? We can't find our peace in our possessions. We try to, but I promise you it's not fulfilling. There is only one kind of peace that truly guards, shields, and protects us, and that is the irone peace of God. Remember, I said last week we brought up that verse in Isaiah that talks about how God will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are stayed on him. Again, who's keeping you in the peace? God is. You're like, wait a minute, I thought peace was guarding me. Is it God guarding me or peace guarding me? There's a reason he's called the Prince of Peace. It is because he is the epitome of peace. Peace is a person. Peace is Jesus Christ. And that's why we see him even as our shepherd. You know, imagine a sheep trying to protect the shepherd. What does that look like? Doesn't work that way. It's the other way around. The shepherd protects the sheep. So we need the irone peace of God because it's through our relationship with Christ that we even have it. Since peace is a person, it's about relationship anyway. Peace is not this material thing you possess or even a positive attitude, as useful as a positive attitude might be. It's not simply that. It is a relationship. It is the relationship that you have with Jesus. So when you're not feeling much peace lately, have you ever wondered, well, what's my relationship with Christ been like lately? Have I even really been meeting with him? Have I really been getting in the word? Have I really been praying? It's okay to ask yourself these questions, not to condemn yourself or beat yourself up, but just simply to troubleshoot the issue, right? Where is my peace? And really what we'll find is not that Jesus left. Right? He gives you that kind of peace the moment that you get saved. What it is that we forfeit that peace or give that peace away so that, again, we can try to find something else to guard, shield, and protect us that won't do a good job of it at all, no matter what it is. If being able to abide under this sense of peace is threatened, that is, you feel tempted to give it away, that is a valuable indicator or a red flag that something is amiss in your thought life. It's not just that we are thinking, what we are thinking about is the way that we are thinking about it, remember? So this is where peace or the absence of peace in our lives becomes a valuable indicator of something going wrong, perhaps, in our thoughts. Maybe we're thinking about the wrong thing. Maybe we're doing the wrong thing. There's a reason that we're not feeling the sense of peace that we should be feeling, and we need to ask ourselves the pertinent question, why? Let me give you an example of how this works. here, I'm actually gonna disclose to you a way that you can push my buttons. Are you gonna abuse it or okay? one of the things that I struggle keeping my peace during, okay, and allowing the peace of Jesus to guard, shield, and protect my heart during, is when I feel like my competency is threatened. When I feel like I'm being accused of doing something stupidly, or I feel like someone doesn't trust my line of reasoning that I drew up and the conclusion that I came to and why I decided to do what I did. When my sense of competency is threatened, I really have to be careful, because I very much, in that moment, more than a lot of things, want to rise up and defend myself. What'll happen is instead of remembering who I am in Christ and who Jesus says I am, I rise up and I push Jesus out of the way, so to speak. He's the one that's supposed to be defending me. And it's as if I'm saying, let me at him, Lord, I can handle myself. Which seems real silly, right? Pushing the King of Kings out of the way. I can handle myself, like a sheep pushing the shepherd out of the way when a lion comes up and it's like, I got him. Like, no. It doesn't work that way, but I'm being completely honest with you when I say that this is something that I have, through the years, had to grow in. And where it comes from is, for a long time, in the course of my education, I fell behind in my public school years, and I was put on something called an IEP, an Individualized Education Plan, and which is a really good thing. Like it, that's evidence that people realize that, hey, not everyone learns the same, and some people need certain kind of attention to be able to, you know, get back up to par where they need to be. It's good. Well, here's how kids see it, though. They see it as if they're now different. And when they have to go and have a tutor because they're not as good at math as some of their peers are, they feel less than. And when you got friends, and you know, they can just be fooling around. I told a story once with the teens about how a friend of mine insulted me when he saw me coming out of my class with my tutor, and he called me a certain name, and I got upset, and I sort of maybe stabbed him with a pencil. Let me at him, Lord. Okay, I wasn't saved yet. We're still friends to this day. Actually, he came to the earlier service. And he came up to me afterwards and he's like, were you talking about? Well, anyway, that wasn't the right way to handle it, right? But it actually revealed, like, because it was like that. That was my reaction to it when he insulted me. I had some deep-seated self-conscious issues about feeling like I was less than and feeling like I was less intelligent. Most of my friends were in what were called TAG classes. I don't even know if these are a thing anymore, but it's an acronym for talented and gifted. Which made me think, well, then what does that make me if I'm not in these classes? I'm not talented and I'm not gifted is what it felt like. And that's a lie from hell. And so I would strive and I would strive and I would try to do what I can to get in the smart kid classes. And it would take my peace. And I wasn't saved yet, you know. I had no inkling or understanding of what was going on in my heart, but I was not secure in who I was. I didn't know anything about Jesus, who Jesus said I was. And I was just trying to find a sense of peace by trying to be seen as more competent and more like my friends, more like other people, so I could fit in. Now, if you don't think that growing up that way, you know, if it didn't have any lasting wounds or lasting effects, well, you're wrong, it does. Because even to this day, I have to be careful about when that area of my life is questioned, my competency is questioned, that old self wants to rise up and say, well, let me prove you wrong. And let me do so colorfully to where you're going to feel like your head got ripped off by the end, and I'll walk away feeling much better about myself for my intellectual prowess. Like, which, by the way, when I've ever attempted to do that, never, let me just say this really, I'm going to just like say, I might even add syllables to the word never, never, it never brings peace when you try to rise up and vindicate yourself in an area that you really struggle with, okay? So this is where peace becomes a really valuable sign or indicator. If someone, you know, might not be feelings of competency, but it might be something else that you struggle with, right? And when that button gets pushed, you now have an opportunity, because you realize in that moment, you can either eject Jesus from being your bodyguard of peace, doing the thing that he wants to do in your life and guard, shield, and protect you as your shepherd, or you'll be tempted to give that away and try to take matters into your own hands. Either way, a feeling of uneasiness comes about you in those moments. Because you know that if you handle it the way that you want to, you have a feeling that it might not go the way that would be healthy or good or beneficial for everyone involved. This uneasiness comes about. Let that be the first warning, the first indicator that makes you take a step back and say, Lord, right now I'm very tempted to give up or give away my peace. Show me how I can stay in it. Show me how I can stay under your protection right here and right now. And you know what he does is he does. He shows you. Maybe you have to walk out of the room and take a deep breath and just get with him for a second. Maybe you don't even have that kind of moment, but in that time, are you conscious enough and mindful enough about God to where even while somebody is maybe verbally attacking you, maybe even physically attacking you, where you remember who you are even in moments like that, where I know who I am in Christ? Or is it like something that we always think about only later, maybe even hours later, like, oh, wow, I gave up my peace when I didn't even realize that I did until I'm in jail now. Or until I'm, you know, sitting here having to explain to my wife why I got fired. Or I suddenly realize that I lost a friend because of my words or the things that I did. It would behoove us to think about it sooner, right? And to be aware of it sooner. But that's why we need to grow to become sensitive to what it feels like when you are tempted to give your peace away. We stay under the protection of this peace as described in Philippians by right praying, right thinking, and right doing. Okay, remember, this is what we learned about in this verse in Philippians. And keeping that in mind, look at what it says. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The first thing that's being talked about here is right praying. This is how we are called to pray. In everything, by prayer and supplication. Learning to become people who pray in any and all situations. And it doesn't look like getting on your knees and folding your hands and staying there in that moment forever. But it looks like keeping that constant connection with God, that whether you're driving or whether you're on the job or whether you are just going on a walk, you can talk with the Lord and you realize he's listening. And you realize that he can give you wisdom and understanding even in those moments, even when things get heated. In everything in prayer and supplication. Then it says with thanksgiving, right? We need to do it with a thankful attitude. And then it goes on to say that right thinking is important, right? Because we read that starting with the next verse, verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever are lovely, whatever things are of a good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. So thinking is now called into the spotlight. The way that we think is important. It is. It's very much something that we need to understand as impacting, having a direct impact on every other area of our life. And remember this word meditate. It's the idea of as a cow chews its cud is what the word really means in the Greek, okay? So that means as a cow is chewing on grass, what it'll do is it'll chew on it, it will swallow it, and then it will regurgitate it back into its mouth. And then it'll chew on it some more, and then it'll swallow it, and then it will regurgitate it, and then it'll chew on it some more. I know I'm disturbing a lot of you right now, but guess what? At the end of the day, it swallows it again. And why it does that is because it wants to get as many nutrients as possible from the grass, or instinctually it knows that doing this is how it's going to get the most benefit from the food that it's eating. Well, similarly, you and I are called to meditate on things that are pure, noble, just, of a good report, you name it, the things that we just read. We're called to keep those things on the forefront of our mind and to really receive from those things and call them back up when necessary to receive from them again. And then we receive it again. And then something happens. Well, now we got to call it back up to receive it again. That's what it looks like. That's what meditating, biblically speaking, really looks like in this context. But the content of our thoughts, it has a direct impact on the way that we think and the way that we feel. I mean, it really does. I know that we would like to believe that we can take in whatever we want to and listen to whatever we want to without it really doing anything to us, but that's just not how our brains work. That is not how spiritually we work. And so we're called to really meditate on and think about those things that are good and pure and lovely and really have to do with things that are of eternal value. Instead of wasting our thought life and everything going on in our head, instead of wasting all that creative power and our imagination on things that really might just tempt us to give up our peace. And then it goes on to talk about right doing, right? Starting with verse 9, the things you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do. And the God of peace will be with you. So it starts out with praying, moves into thinking, moves into doing. I mean, if you stop short of the doing, it stops short of the whole enterprise, right? You could be someone who prays right and thinks right, but if it never bleeds into your actions, then something is not going to work out. It says at the end, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. So the praying, you know, you're inviting his peace starting with that, but through the entire process, he's wanting it to now become you, to where it is now the way that you live, the way that you actually go about doing life is having a direct impact on the way that you keep your peace or not. Irone peace, like I said, it's not some material thing we possess. It's not merely a positive attitude. It is a person, and his name is Jesus. That's why it says the God of peace will be with you. And then Isaiah 9:6, the Prince of Peace is what he's referred to. And in Ephesians 2:14, which we're about to look at, that it says that he himself is our peace. I mean, you can't spell it out any clearer. Peace is a person. So peace is about relationship. And therefore, this kind of peace is relationally oriented at all times. So if you're not feeling peace, and you feel like you're being pulled apart in many directions, and it begs the question, what does your walk with Jesus look like lately? This is not a condemnation. I'm just saying it as a practical way for you and I to realize that when we feel that way, what is our option? What is the thing we should do? Go to God. That's it. Not to condemn, not to make you feel bad about yourself, but simply this, when you feel that way, when you feel pulled apart and you feel like you don't have a sense of peace, it's time to get back with Jesus and to discover why. You see, that's the other sense of what irone means. Remember, it's having a sense of his divine presence and favor in your life. I want to walk around with that at all times. I want a sense of his divine favor and his presence in my life. And I know that the only way that that's really going to happen is if I become a person where the irone peace of God, the fruit of the irone peace of God has been cultivated and developed to where peace simply just exudes off of me. I want to be like that with the people who I think are really cultivated in this, that when you're in their presence, you just cannot help but to like feel at ease, to feel like, is there like something like radiating off of this person that is just like totally... like something about them, it's as if peace has now become tangible in this room. Truthfulness can save us now. Only the truth and truthfulness can save us.
You have been listening to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church. We are located at 340 West Russell Road in Sydney, Ohio. Our service time Sunday mornings at 9 and 11 a.m. If we can be of help to you, you may contact us at 937-492-6412 or visit us on the web at russellroadchurch.com or Facebook by searching Russell Road Church, Sydney. We end today's broadcast with these words from the Apostle Paul taken from 2 Corinthians 13:11. Be complete, be of good comfort, be of one mind. Live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Have a blessed week.